Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Brendan Albetsky. We're here to break down Mark Hugh Destroys the Earth and sometimes the Moon, Chapter 9, releasing this Friday on Global Comics.
Yes.
Brendan, welcome to the stream. How have you been, man?
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be back, and I have been fantastic. We were talking about this before we went live, and I feel like we just did this. I've been so busy. It's been like 2-3 months or however long it's been. It's just been no time at all. So
how many interviews do you think it's been since you've last been on?
How many interviews? Oh boy, I'm betting it's probably been 75. I'm gonna say
I'm gonna do the math right now. So you were last on 289, and this is 374.
Oh wow, so almost 100.
85, 10 off.
Damn, that's
it.
That's
has been a busy
good.
Month for us both. What have you been up to? I mean, we all know what I do. I cover you know, comics and video games. But what have you been up to, man?
I'm making comics, man. I'm making comics.
You got a tree now. I love it.
I got
it.
A tree. Growing trees, making comics. Yeah. No, I did. So I've been working on this chapter 9, Mario Kira Destroy the Moon. It's coming out on Friday on Global Comics. And nothing else important is coming out on Friday. Thank God for that. I've been working on that, and it's the longest release I've done so far. It started out, it was supposed to be like a 12-page chapter, and then a ballooning to 31. But you know, a lot of important stuff happens, and it's actually kind of the big end to you know, the arc that we're on right now and the start of the next one. So it's a big deal. You're going to want to be there. But I've also been working on a comic called The World Ends in Fire, the first issue of which is on Global Comics. You can read. There's going to be a Kickstarter soon run by DC Horn, who's the writer of that. And we're working on issue 2 of that. I'm also working on a piece with a writer named Alex Garrick Wright for an anthology called Fractured Realms, which is done by Limit Break Comics out of Ireland. That's really exciting. Some real cool cosmic horror stuff we're doing on with that. I've been working on the Insomniac's Delight anthology with Alice Quinn Rose. Finished my story for that. It's about a dog. It's going to creep you the hell out.
Let the dogs out. Brendan did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Look forward to that. That's a really great one. Working with Alice, just fantastic writer. And she's got a lot of really creepy ideas for that, you know, anthology series. So definitely look forward to that. So that's been me for the past couple of months. You know, it's been a whirlwind, and you know, we're not done yet. I'm in the middle of a bunch of other things, but I'm just glad to take a moment to breathe. I'm taking this week to breathe and to launch.
It feels good, doesn't
chapter
it?
Nine. Yeah.
A little anxiety though. It's like, I should be doing something.
Well, I'm thanking God that that Tears of the Kingdom comes out on Friday, so I don't have to chew my nails looking at the page views. I'll be able to get lost in some Zelda.
I went to GameStop. I forgot. I take my kids there just to check out some of the toys or check out, you know, the newest Funkos or whatever. And they were like, "Hey, we're finally doing a midnight launch on Thursday," and I was like, "Okay." Like, I was on the fence, not on the fence about getting it. I have to be more, I got to be careful with my budget. I recently got fired from my crap job. So like, which is, it's good.
Congratulations in a certain light. Yeah.
It's great. But it's like, you know, in that aspect, I can't like, just like be like, okay, new game, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. But it's like, okay, now I can play it earlier than everyone else. Like,
there you go.
I might have to get it now. Like,
yeah, you know, some sacrifices need to be made, you know?
Yeah. So I had the chance to read chapter 9, and I mean, it was fantastic. We won't spoil anything too much, but I mean, there's a lot of, you know, things going on that are a little bit differently from chapter 8. You know, we finally got some words.
Yeah, words are back in a big way. You know, right before chapter 8 came out, I said, this is either going to be the best thing I've ever done or everybody's going to hate it. And I think the response was relatively positive. I'm not sure if everybody was quite as excited about a wordless chapter as I was, but I did get some positive response to that. So it was fun to do. It was a fun experiment to do. And I think it was cool for the story. So that being said, it is still nice to have, you know, be able to do dialogue again. Yeah.
So that was a thing. I think, and I don't know how to really, it's like you are embracing your style each and every issue more in depth. Like, it's like you started finding your style and your uniqueness in it. And then like you started just digging in deeper and deeper. And chapter 9 just feels like, it just feels like you, man. I don't think I could ever like pinpoint any sort of style or artist like to anything close to what you have right now. Like, I was on my other account and I seen your one character design, the one with the big hands, and I was just
Jimmy Jackets.
I loved it so much, dude. You have such a unique way with your characters and just like how you like just emphasize certain parts of them. It's like, it's beautiful, man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's everybody, I feel like everybody's style kind of starts off as a ripoff of whoever their favorite artist is or something along those lines or whatever they're trying to base their thing off of. And then kind of the more time you spend with it, the more you do it, the more you develop it, it becomes more your own. And when I was first going with the Mario Kiro stuff, I met a guy on the internet named Alejandro Brusetze, and he explained it to me like, style is just the way that an artist solves problems. So like, if you're trying to develop style, you're going about it wrong, and it's not gonna come about organically. It's like, this is just the way that you have a problem as an artist that you need to solve, and the way that your brain works to solve it and work through it, that is your style, and that's how you develop style. So that's kind of how I've tried to think about it as I've worked on Mario Kiro. And you're right, I think it gets better every chapter.
Yeah,
because every time I hit a chapter, like, my goal is I'm gonna make the best comic I ever made with this chapter.
You
chapter
want balls nine, to the definitely. Walls. Yes. Yeah, balls definitely. To the walls, dude. So I was like, and another thing we were talking backstage is like, you want a different color palette, which I thought was really interesting. You know, chapter 8 was a lot lighter, like blue, greens. This one's, you know, darker, you know, red, pink, dark orange. You know, can we talk about the reasoning behind that, or is that kind of spoiler?
Yeah. It's not exactly spoilery. You know, you picked up on it. Everybody was supposed to pick on it, and it's definitely a thing that happened. You know, the way that I've described chapter 8 is Mario Kiro goes somewhere else. and where does she go? She goes somewhere else. And that was kind of the motive behind just really shifting the way everything looked on the color palette, because, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, or we're not on Tilth anymore. I should reinforce my own branding. So she went somewhere else. And at the end of chapter 8, she's about to, you know, head back to her original location. So you're going to see that kind of jump from one style to another. One color scheme to another, to show you that kind of location shift. So that's really as much as I'm willing to say about it.
But yeah. Give us more. How did it feel like going back to lettering, you know, and getting some words out finally?
I have to actually go back to my Geekly's ballot, and I need to submit a new one that only has a letterer slot, because I forgot to submit for a letterer, because I went to that one. I'm like, I'm going to need to have a think about that. And I forgot to go back. So I'm going to need to, maybe I'll just send you a separate vote. I'm like, this is my pick for letterer. You know, I'm not a great letterer. I don't think I'm a bad letterer either. It's not my primary discipline. I just like being in control of everything, so I do everything myself, and I feel like I'm good enough. I make solid use of Nate Pigos's blambot.com and all of the fantastic fonts that are available for indie comics use on that website. Go check it out. No affiliation, no sponsorship. I just think it's a great website, and Nate does a great job. But Nate's also got a book out where he talks about, you know, like, great, you know, ways to improve your lettering, how to be a letterer. Check it out. I don't follow all the rules, but I try to follow some of them, at least when I remember to. And it's just, your lettering is really important.
It's so bombastic when it needs to be. And it's great. It just like emphasizes the scene so much. I mean, it was remarkable what you were able to accomplish without words in chapter 8. But like, you know, I think you're kind of being humble, like, or modest, maybe. I think your lettering is awesome, man. It's awesome. It fits the style perfect, man.
If I had to. Like, draw out my own font, my own alphabet, I feel like you might feel less like that. but I just try to follow the rules for the most part. You know, you get the diamond shape in the text and nice big margins in the balloons, and the tail comes from the center of the balloon and points towards the speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, that just kind of the easy rule for like the basic dialogue, and then for like the really freaking crazy sound effects and shit, onomatopoeia. I just go nuts, and it's like, yeah, I just want it to look good. And sometimes you do like heavy metal lettering and stuff like that, and just try to make it look crazy.
I mean, they often say like, if it's good lettering, you won't notice it, but if it's bad, like, you notice it right away. And like, it felt like right from the first chapter, you had a good grasp on it.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I used to be so bad at, And I feel like the first time I was on this show, I told you about the time when I used to do like a gag a day strip right after I graduated college. And I rarely got any comments, but I got one comment one time that was just like, you know, this is all a big fucking mess, right? And it just like broke me.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So it's like, but you know, they were right. You know, they were right. You know, mm-hmm. I don't endorse comments like that, but in the case of this amusing story and what it did for me as a creator, that asshole was correct. It was a big mess. So, you know, it's just something I like it to look neat and clean, and I like it to look legible, and I like it to look readable. I have a proofreader. I've wanted to give him editor credits before. He doesn't want to take them. It's actually kind of annoying. He won't take money from me. It's a very close friend of mine. he won't let me say his name. He's not on social media.
Is he the tree?
He might as well be. It's like saying I have a girlfriend in Canada. You know, it's. But I do have a proofreader. Who does a very good job of kind of giving me feedback. And even in this latest chapter, we had a couple of the text boxes where he's like, oh, that just looks really ugly. You should redo that. I'm like, okay. So I do, you know, that's the other thing about like, get somebody who you trust to give you feedback and then follow it.
See, that's the beauty though. I think, you know, just to go back what you said earlier, I think sometimes you do need, you know, people to keep it real with you. Sure, you know, being a little over, you know, zealous with it or kind of just like pasting it on too thick is not needed, but someone to keep it real with you. You know, I had John Kissy, he offered to redo my thumbnails and I didn't realize how hideous my other ones looked until I saw how a good one looked, you know?
I liked your old ones too, but you know, your new ones really do look super pro.
So clean. So, you know, like, and you know, I'm all about that. Just like you, like when I sit back, I'm like, dude, I did so many where it just like, it was not like this clean. It was like, I want this clean image and you know, it gets obsessive to almost attain, right?
Oh yeah. And you know, I think there's for the people watching at home, you know, there's like a big, I feel like we're walking a razor's edge here because there's a big difference between like going to a trusted friend and being like, hey, can you give me some feedback, or going to a community on, you know, like a Discord or whatever, like Cartoon
Reddit.
And saying like, hey, give me some feedback. Cause I'm looking to improve this and I'd like your expert opinion. There's a big difference between that and rando who you've never met dropping a comment in your thing to say, hey, you know, this is a big fucking mess, right?
You know? In that same regard though, your friend you might pull some punches. The rule for me is like, if I, out of 100 people, if 10 people are saying the same thing, that's what you need to focus on. True. You know, because then that's probably
I'm just trying to keep people from bullying me in the comments, you know. I don't
You better be nice to Brandon because this is an awesome book. I loved it. It was actually, you know, my aunt Connie stopped by. We were talking about this, but yes, I wanted to mention it live. You know, she caught one of my interviews, and it was with Neil Clyde. We were talking about his book for Marvel, and she was like, she called me up afterwards. She's like, you actually do this. She's like, you're good at this. Like, and I'm like, thank you. Like, I've been telling you guys, but thank you. Like my head just got so big. You. But then she's like, you know, I want to come over and get some books. I'm like, okay. And she actually did. And I remember we were going through my graphic novels and like yours was the one I distinctively remember pulling out and being like, this is like a good example of like not superhero stuff. Like this is like, cause you know, she didn't really know about comics. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are getting into comics, you think of Batman, you think Superman, sure, maybe the Flash, maybe Spider-Man. I'm like, this is indie. Like this is like a completely different style, completely different book, completely different message. And like I think that's like the beauty of it, you know, right? It's like indie, it really is like a box of chocolate because you never know what you're going to get. And like I had to show her this one because like your style is just so unique, man.
And you gave her I got magic powder back there, which no, that wasn't Shed, was the one you gave her. Right? Shed's in my pile. I should have put Shed out. But Joe Death, the other one that you gave to her, I started reading that. That's great.
It makes me good that my recommendations are good too. Like when you said I got that, I was like, dude, yeah, man, that's so awesome.
Well, put me on the list and Shed on the list, and I've read Shed, and Shed's fantastic. And it's like, well, there's one on this list that I haven't read, so we're going to rectify that. But you know,
notice that each is like a unique art style in itself? Yeah. Like Richard's another fantastic artist who just has this unique style, you know. Mm. So you said a lot of that is kind of finding, you know, ways to work with errors, like way your style is, you know, when you discover it's kind of a, how did you discover that? Like what went into that for you?
I mean, there's a mentality that I used to have. I want to say there's a mentality that everybody has, but that's not true. It was just me. I don't know if it's everybody. I can't speak for everybody. But there was a mentality that I used to have where it's like, well, we have to do everything the right way. We have to find out what the right way is. and we have to do it that way. And everything I've ever tried to do in that fashion has always looked very bad and forced. And so it's like you're finding creative solutions to a page looking like shit, essentially. And it's like, you know, how do you handle your perspectives, and how do you handle the way that characters sit in a panel together? You know, how do you handle anatomy? How do you handle action shots? How do you handle facial expressions? And, you know, there's a lot of core principles that are really foundational and will really help you and you know, like, really detailed and normal ass anatomy drawing is a great way to if you want to draw like crazy cartoon bullshit, get out your medical textbooks and start learning like that kind of anatomy. Honestly, that's what I did. Yeah. And it's like you start to internalize the way that a body is supposed to look. So you know what to fuck with to make it look cool when you want to stylize something. Abby Howard, who does, is it The Last Halloween or The Long Halloween? Long Halloween's Batman. It's The Last Halloween. Abby Howard, who does The Last Halloween, who is, she is a medical illustrator by trade. And she's like got a biology degree and all kinds of crazy stuff. And she does like this comic that's just a super simple character that's like a little kid with a big head, who fights all these insanely horrific monsters that are just like, and she attributes it to being like, you know, I know what things are supposed to look like, so I know how unsettling I can make it by exactly what to make look wrong to make it look really, really
scary.
She
like knows what rules to break, essentially.
Exactly, yeah. You gotta learn the rules so that you can then completely disregard them. But knowing how to disregard them in an artful fashion.
That's awesome. For everyone that is watching, right here is the link to the Global Comics site where you can read Chapter 9. That is dropping, you said, this Friday?
Yeah, it's going to be this Friday. It is coming at 1:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Why Friday so morning. Late?
A.m. Early. Very early.
You said 1:30, right? Or 8:30?
1:30 a.m. 1:30. 1:01.
Yeah, after midnight, right?
After midnight. Right after midnight. So like Thursday, you stay up till midnight to buy your Tears of the Kingdom so you can go home and play that. Before you do that, 1:30 a.m., stop by Global Comics, read Chapter 9.
So, yeah, why a midnight launch? I don't think I've ever heard of a comic midnight launch.
I don't know. I can schedule it whenever, and I just like might as well make it available at midnight. When I used to read like web comics and stuff, that would like we update Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I was in college, so I was always up, you know, in the middle of the night, and I'd be like refreshing at midnight. And I'm like, how come? It's Wednesday, bro. Where's the comic? And, obviously, that's a little bit unreasonable, but I figured I would feed that. So yeah, 1:30 a.m. Not midnight, just because I didn't want to accidentally like somehow set it to release at midnight on Saturday or something like that. Mm-hmm. So 1:30 a.m. Chapter 9, Global Comics. It's going to rock your socks.
It's like, it feels like it's almost double the length of Chapter 8, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm counting two-page spreads as being individual pages because the ultimate destination of this will be in a print volume. I'm 99.9% sure with my publisher Castain at the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year. And so this will be in print 31 pages. Whereas the last one I think was like 12 or 14. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, it's a lot longer and a lot of stuff happens. Big plot developments and things. People get iced in this chapter, as Samuel L. Jackson would say.
I love that.
Can you ever see that? Samuel L. Jackson talking about Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
It stayed with me for years. Where you know, just like, people get iced in this movie.
On his lightsaber, it said motherfucker on it.
Did it really?
I want to say it was engraved. I don't know if it was in the movie, but I want to say he got one from George Lucas, and it was on there. So real quick, before we dive into Chapter 8, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you just became a cartoonist co-op?
Yes.
Or a part of that?
I became a member of the cartoonist co-op. Not the entirety of the co-op itself. I'm not a founding member, but I'd like to think that I'm an early adapter to the cartoonist co-op. And it's been a great experience so far. You know, there's a writer strike going on. The WGA and a lot of people in the cartooning community have expressed a desire to have a guild of sorts for cartoonists and for artists and for writers and for letterers and for colorists and for every kind of discipline, editors, etc. I'm sure I missed something. But the the problem is that, you know, people who do comics by and large are freelancers, which means that if you try to actually do like a formal organization of labor, that's considered price fixing, which is, you know, not cool. So it's kind of BS that we can't like do like an actual union or anything like that at the moment, but this is kind of how organization starts with a co-op like this. So this is kind of a give help, get help kind of scenario. And I'm trying to, is my mouse dead?
What do you mean?
My mouse might be dead. I'm trying to go over to my notes here. I took a couple of notes.
I pulled up my screen. I'm like, what do you mean? No. Like I'm controlling it.
No. So I'm getting involved in the co-op, and you know, there's a campaign going on right now. You can actually see it. It's right next to mine. Trigger Shot. This book here. Oh, up a little bit. Yeah, right there. So there's a campaign going on right now for, that's not it, but you know, there's a book called Trigger Shot. There's a campaign going on for it right now. And everybody in the co-op is assisting on working on this campaign, you know, reaching out to any contacts they might have in the industry. I'm reaching out to you right now and telling you about it. You know, I could get you a review copy of this if you want to read it and talk about it for whatever reason. It looks awesome. It's really cool. It's a weird concept. It's a very experimental kind of art comic. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's something to check out, and you know, I'll send you some more information later.
I can get that if you are able to. You know, I definitely get the creator on the show too. Not a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. The creator's name is Tal Brosh, and I will find out if they want to come on the show, because I feel like that would be really cool. And you know, I'm looking for ways to help the co-op. They put up like a job board with like, here's things you can help out with. Mm-hmm. You know, we say like you should never be doing work for free. Modify that maybe slightly to say you should never be doing work for free for somebody who has a lot of money, like a publisher. Yeah. In a scenario like a co-op, you're not working for free if you are doing like an exchange of labor. So if somebody is going to do marketing for your comic, maybe you help them out by making a banner for their website or something like that. You give help, get help, that kind of thing.
Like a barter system almost.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, cartoonists are not the wealthiest people in the world, as it turns out.
You guys can't make millions off of this?
Not just yet. But it's, you know, it's a great community. I've been there for a couple of months. I try to be active on the Discord. I get distracted a lot, and I'll like abandon Discord for weeks at a time and be like, oh no, I'm in like Discords that would expect me to say things. Mm-hmm. but you know, everything I've done with the community there has been just awesome. We did like a little character show and tell, which was a meeting kind of like this where there was like 12 people there, and I did a little PowerPoint presentation about Mario Kiro. It was really fun.
Oh man, that was so everybody, cool.
Just drastically different styles. Everybody was really cool. Like I said earlier, I think I'm doing a fantasy roundtable with three other comic creators and a moderator who I believe is an editor. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of fantasy comics and stuff. I should have brought up there's one who I'm a fan of. I'll bring up the list. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit later, just because I don't want to leave anybody out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm learning about some new people, but at the same time, I'm going to get to be on a panel with somebody who I'm a longtime fan of. So that's,
oh, really, that's cool. So cool, dude.
I don't know if everybody wants to have their names get read out, actually, so I won't do it. But you know, I'll be talking about it pretty soon. That should happen towards the end of May, that roundtable, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be talking about a lot of fantasy things. And I've heard the folks on the panel talking about like all the intricacies of world building and the way that they craft their societies and the way that they mirror social justice issues in the real world and pull that into fantasy and how they you know, establish all of these things. And I'm like, I'm just like, magic sword goes brr. So I feel a little outclassed in some ways, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So
this is so cool. I love kind of just going through this, seeing all the different styles and just how unique everything, like this is like a virtually like a comic cookbook. It feels like it, you know,
so
it's a really cool vibe.
The last thing I want to say about it is, like, you know, this is starting out kind of as just like a community that's helping each other out through the intricacies of comic marketing and publicity. You know, there's a wide community of artists. You can get craft tips, you can get feedback. The barrier of entry for membership is surprisingly low. You know, you don't need to be a published comic artist. You don't need to be a published writer. You don't need to be a conventional pro, as it were. All you need to do is be willing to help with stuff like marketing campaigns, be willing to give as much as you get. The only way you can get kicked out is if you're being toxic, which is not cool. If you remain inactive for 6 months and you're not contributing, then you're not really in it anyways. Or if you are, you know, if you don't, essentially, if you're not given help, but you're getting help, then that's not cool. But really, it's just like, if you want to be a part of a community, you want to be a part of the beginning of like collective labor in comics. This is really cool, man.
If I could ever get like the people who run this on the show, I would love to do that too and try to get this pumped out as far as possible. This is such a cool concept.
Yeah, check. I mean, they're really easy to get a hold of. I'll put you in touch. Why not? Because I want to be the guy who brought Cody to the comics co-op. I want to be that guy.
We had Claire Napier on the show. Yeah,
I know. I went to the co-op Discord today and I'm like, I'm going on this show called Keeping It Geekly Tonight with Cody, and it's really great, and I'm going to talk about the co-op and you should all watch. And I'm like, I'm real proud of myself, like, I'm bringing this to you. And then Claire's like, oh yeah, I'm going in there too, I'm also going to talk about the co-op. I said, damn it. I wanted to be the guy.
That is so cool. Yeah, we have Claire coming on with David Taylor for Wild Nature. I want to say that's May 11th, so a couple days from now actually.
Well, at least I was first. I'm not the guy who said it best, but I'm the guy who said it first.
So, I mean, enough of this. Let's get back to business. Check out chapter 8 real quick. So right here is chapter 8. For everyone watching, I'm going to put this link in chat. Check it out with us. You know, it's 100% free to do. We need to get these, you know, these clicks up too. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you read it. Get that algorithm boosted for Brendan as well. Easy. So
thank you.
So right here, just some gorgeous colors. What are we seeing, you know? Give us a little bit of a breakdown of what's happening on these pages.
So if you remember it from the end of chapter 7, because this is kind of a drop into some confusion here. But if you remember last time, actually, I think you're on page 2.
Hold on one second. I could be on page 2. Hold on. Nope. Well, this is, it says page 1 of 2 of 13 right there, so... That could be something on maybe the GC side of things.
No, it's my fault. I forgot that at the way that chapter 7 ends is what I think of as being the start of chapter 8. Yeah.
Well, hey, let's just go back a couple pages in. That's not a problem.
Yeah. So maybe my chaptering is not that. So yeah, I guess, you know, you remember at the end of chapter 7, Mario Kiro fucking died. in every effectual sense of the term. You know, she was fighting in the arena, some dirty shit happened, some magic happened, she got really effed up, and then woke up here.
And what is this place?
With all of her wounds mysteriously here. This is somewhere else, Cody. That's where we are.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know, is that you're somewhere else, and nobody can speak in words anymore. So at the end of chapter 7, she met this dude on the rock with the sword. And this is what I was thinking. This is what I was expecting to see as the first two pages of chapter 8, because apparently I don't even know my own comic, or maybe I know it so well that I should redraw where the chapter lines are. But yeah, so that's where chapter 7 ended. And then, yeah, in the beginning of chapter 8, you kind of, this is where you get the soft introduction to the fact that we're not going to be using words anymore. Mm-hmm. And then chapter 8, we're really bombing just right into it about this is how we communicate here. So, you know, you got this guy handing the sword over to her and giving her kind of a crash course in how it works. That's what's happening. I feel a little bit like I'm betraying my David Lynch pact here, where I'm just supposed to let you struggle with the page. And if you ask me to clarify, I go, no. but I'm not that cool.
A little bit nicer. I think this way is a little bit nicer. Yeah. Into the mind of how you work, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, on the second page, you kind of see that it's not just this weirdo with the helmet who talks like this. Everybody here communicates in this way. So Maru asks where she is and gets this as an explanation. This I do not care to elaborate on any further, but you can kind of see pick up from that what you will. Mm-hmm. But that's this guy explaining where they are.
God, one thing I wanted to bring up is this page and this panel in particular. How freaking cool it is that he's holding her panel. Like, that is such a cool thing. That is such, like, I don't know, is that fourth wall breaking, fifth wall breaking? I don't even know what you call it, but it's such a cool thing. And I just...
I'm like obsessed with dream logic and dream spaces. Not to give anything away here, but you know, but just that kind of the way that things behave in dreams. I'm reading Sandman right now too, for the first time. So obviously some of that shit's going to leak in. that happens to me whenever I'm reading something. It's like, uh-oh, this is going to end up in the comic. I was reading Gene Wolfe at the time of making this too. So it's just all if you are familiar with those kinds of things, it's like you can kind of pick up on some of those themes as they're making their way into the book. But
I love how, like, right here, I don't know if that's the intention, but to me it looks like she's like clothes. Yep. Like, I'm naked. Where are they at?
There's a particular charm that Margot Kirrieu has, which is she doesn't care what you want to talk about. She's got kind of her own agenda, and will not be distracted from it, even when it's something as simple as where the hell are my clothes. So.
And then right here is another kick-ass page. This is gorgeous.
Yeah, I love this one. You know, when I'm making these books, oftentimes when I start doing a chapter, I'll kind of key in on like where I want my key art to be, and where I want my, because I do a lot of two-page spreads, you may have noticed. And I used to just, whenever I felt like doing one, I would do one. And when we were putting the first book together for printing, that ended up being a big problem because I didn't paginate it correctly. And so the first proof is like all the two-page spreads fucked up. And then like they're all split up and they're all over the place. We had to add a bunch of weird fly pages in weird places. And it's like, okay, I learned my lesson. I know that my comics are going to be printed now. I'm going to figure out the pagination before I write the chapter. And so that was one of these things where it's like, I want to do this right in the middle, this big old splash with all this stuff in it. And so that's just one of my key art pieces that I particularly happy with. So,
it's a busy page. I mean, who do we have here in the left?
You don't remember her?
Well, I mean, I'm giving you the opportunity to tell us who she is.
Oh, well, if you don't remember Juval from chapters 4 up until now, she's been the primary antagonist of this arc. She's the priestess ruler of the city of Tanaris, and she's a real pill. and they she and Margot Kirrieu do not get along.
No,
as you may have guessed.
You know, Margot Kirrieu has a really interesting design, but she does as well. You know, what kind of went into your process for creating this character?
I don't like give names to any of like the species or whatever of Toth. Everybody is just kind of there's a lot of everybody comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And, you know, maybe they'll be a little bit more specific at some point, but I kind of like the way how it's just kind of nebulous right now. And you remember how like in like Dragon Ball Z, it was just the mayor was a dog and they never really explored that at all. He was just a dog.
Yeah.
I like that. So I have a lot of like kind of off human types of characters and she's one of them. And there's another one in this side story series called Margot Kirrieu, Demon of the Pit, which is a prequel series. Which I've only done one chapter of so far, but I'm going to go back to it. And there's the dude with the eye patch in that. I don't know if you remember him, but he had like the big hammerhead. Mm-hmm. She looks like that, but she's just got hair, so you can't tell all the time. So that's like why like, sure, her face is really wide and the hair kind of falls around her head like that because she's got like a really wide head. But yeah, I just wanted to the smiling bastard villain is like my most hated villain whenever I'm like watching anime and stuff. I'm like always like, oh, I really hate that person.
Ooh,
like,
you must have really hated Handsome Jack. Handsome Jack was like the perfect person for that, right?
Get me started on Handsome Jack. I legitimately do hate Handsome Jack. But that is a type of villain that's always gotten under my skin. And I was just like, I'm going to make this woman is just like always wearing a shit eating grin. And just, you know, she's the one who casts the big old spell that put Mario in the dirt and at the end of chapter 6. So, or rather, sorry, at the end of chapter 7. So like, yeah, she's got the power to back it up, which is kind of even more infuriating. But yeah, so I just really, she's just mean and selfish and, you know, so full of herself and just really just an awful, awful person. And you really want to see the two of them fight.
I really love, like, you know, there's no talking or lettering. So, like, you use your speech bubbles are the actual, like, other just panels. And, like, panels don't even exist. It's, like, one big open, like, image. And it's just, it's the way you did your background is just so gorgeous as well, man. I love this. This is awesome.
This was one of my favorite chapters to work on. It was just so weird and so fun. And it was just like, I can do anything here. I can do anything anywhere, as it turns out. And you'll see some of that in chapter 9, because I just kind of stopped giving a shit. I'm like, I can do whatever I want. I'm God here.
And then we see him kind of bringing up a little bit of a sore subject right here.
Yeah, maybe some other stuff that you might want to consider. But no, we're not interested in that. And this was kind of this page here was the reason that this chapter is the way it is. This was the gimmick that I wanted to do. Is her cutting the speech bubbles in half. I was like, I want to set up a situation where I can have that happen.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
I maybe not this specifically. My good friend Zach Semantic worked on a comic called Anonymous Cubed. And there's a chapter in that where the protagonist pulls a caption off of one of the pages and uses it like a 2x4 to beat somebody up with.
That so is really cool.
Yeah, it is. So like that's kind of something I was thinking of. I'm sure Deadpool has done something like this at some point. I don't read Deadpool, mm-hmm. So I don't know. But it just seems like the kind of thing that Deadpool would do.
And then right here, this look up is such a pissed off look. You could tell she's ready to go to war.
Yes. Yeah, she was never ready to stop going to war. I don't think Mara has really had a moment of peace since this comic started. but yeah, no, I love doing perspective shots like that too. And you know, there's one of my favorite promo pieces that I did for the comic is the really low angle shot of Mano Tatis on the throne. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure you have somewhere, but we don't need to bring it up. I think that I sent you a print when I sent you the book, and I think it might have been that one, and I can't remember, but it was one of them. But yeah, so I love doing really just like kind of like extreme perspective shots, and sometimes some of them are challenging, and it's a good way to push yourself as an artist to do
the hair like in the water and everything is such a gorgeous touch, man.
Well, we go to feed it back to what we were talking about craft wise before. We talk about solving problems, the style of solving problems. I want to do this extreme perspective shot, and I'm not the greatest perspective artist in the world. So what am I going to do to make this work in the panel? And so you end up with stuff like the hair floating in the water. And I think that's really cool. And the speech will kind of cut across. So maybe hide some of the things that I wasn't still going to draw on. but you know, that's like, I think that is a good example of like how I took an opportunity of something that I didn't know exactly how to do and used it to kind of grow my style.
And then just another, like, right here, like, visually orgasmic, if I can. Like, this is, like, hey, just all right. Next level.
I want that as a pull quote on my next book.
Make it happen. Yeah. Like, this is, like, right here, such a gorgeous. I remember when I got here, I was like, damn, dude, this is, like,
I really wanted to show the magnitude of, like, just what this place was. And how many other directions they could have walked in, you know. That's one of my favorite things about like world building. And when I do world building, I don't really think a whole lot about it from a planning perspective. I kind of have it happen in the moment. I design on the page in a lot of cases. But really what I wanted to do here was just like, they've picked a direction to walk in, but look at all the other places they could have gone and what's over there. We may never know. We might find out someday, but we might not. I don't know. Wouldn't you like to know? I guess you'll have to keep reading the comic.
And another gorgeous shot right here.
This was another thing where it's like, I wanted to do a cool perspective of her climbing the cliff. And I spent a crap load of time looking at reference images of people rock climbing. And
that stuff's so scary. I don't understand how they do it. It's death defying. like climbing, just hanging from their fingertips. But I guess a lot of them, their fingertips are just like insanely strong. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Thick, like sausage fingers.
You ever see that video of the people like, is like a state fair or something, and the challenge is like you can get $50 if you can hang on this thing for 10 seconds or whatever, and then you can get $100 if you can hang on this thing. And you see like a group of rock climbers comes through and they just clean them out because there's like this eighth of an inch slat that's like hang on this for however many seconds and get $500, and like five people in a row just like boom, boom,
hanging from their fingernails.
Just hanging from their fingernails.
Oh man. And the free climbers that no rope, it's like, dude, I do not understand like how you are able to, like, because I would just like, something would happen, dirt would get in my eye, I'd go to wipe and I'd be dead. You know, I'd be falling like 100 feet off.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't even try it. I would be dead just thinking about it.
So we have another interesting thing. You know, she finally gets to the top. What is she looking at right here?
Well, if you go back to the last page, and you kind of see her climbing off the cliff, and we have another instance of just like other places that we could have gone. Mm-hmm. You see all the holes in the rock face and the kind of things that you can catch a glimpse of through that. And then you get to the top, which is of course the final goal of what she actually wants. Naturally the hardest place to get to. And you can go back to the final sequence now, but that's what we're seeing here. Is this is where she wants to be going. And if you look down and you look into the hole, you can kind of see the ball buildings of Tanaris, and you see the arena in the background there. And that's where she wants to be going. And so that's where we left off at the end of chapter 8. And where we'll go in chapter 9, well, I don't know.
And this is another gorgeous shot right here. This is beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. I enjoyed working. That was actually the first page I did for the chapter.
Oh,
I did
really?
It kind of backwards, yeah. Well, typically I'll sketch out the whole thing first. And then I'll go back and start, you know, doing like real pencils and inks and colors and toning and lettering and blah 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 blah. But that was the first, so I blocked it out in order, but that was the first page that I actually went back and did after that. So
man, holy crap, what an awesome experience. It's always a blast to like get a chance to go through a book page by page like that. I really don't get to do it a whole lot, so it's always, for me, it's fun. And I'm sure as a creator it's nice for you to get a chance to kind of point out some of your favorite parts as well.
Yeah, it helps me remember what's in what chapter too, turns out.
So with this dropping Friday, I mean, what's next for you in 2023? Any other projects coming out for you, or any other chapters you might have, planned?
Yeah, we got two more coming out this year. One in August and then one in November. So I'm probably going to want to come back on the show to talk about them. But actually, I released I'm very proud of myself, is I released a Mario Kira's schedule at the beginning of the year, actually at the end of last year, and I said like there's going to be four releases and these are the dates they're going to come out on, and I'm going to hit two out of two so far.
Any importance to the dates or
I just picked dates. I mean, there's one per quarter, and I think I picked like the second Friday of each of those months, so there was
so at 1:30 a.m. For those dates too.
Yeah, probably. Why not?
I think I like it. I like it. It's like a little midnight launch for a comic. I think that's like, and then you start the whole day out. You know, your algorithm for the day starts right at 12. So it's like perfect.
Yeah. That's what I want. So so you know, there's gonna be one in August, and there will be another one in November, and they're not gonna be as long as this one, because if I try to jam something like this through again, I think I'm gonna die. Don't overwork yourself, people.
I
bit off a little more than I could chew with this one, and luckily I made it, but it's not something I'd recommend. But that's just Mario Kira stuff. I'm also doing more World Ends in Fire with DC Horn, first issue. That's
which there's Comics. Something I might be involved with that
I have heard a thing or two about that, but that's an exciting tease for something that might happen with that. That Cody might be involved a little bit with World Ends in Fire. So it remains to be seen. But I'm excited about that. You could say more if you want. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
We'll keep it at that. We'll keep it. You guys got to follow DC and Brendan to stay up to date with that. I'll let that kind of get announced on their channels. But man, so you've been on the channel before. You know we always love ending strong. This time
I want to rattle off a couple more things. I don't want
to. Oh, go ahead. He's like, we're not done yet.
No,
Cody.
No, 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 no. I've got
this
so
is
many
my show.
But yeah, Fractured Realms with Limit Break Comics. The story I'm doing called The Doom That Came to Midgard with Alex Garrick Wright. That's going to be cool.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really going to be something. Then of course Insomniac's Delight is coming to Kickstarter soon. Thing I did with Alice Quinn Rose. That's another fantastic comic. Another wordless comic. It's from the perspective of a dog. And it's a real wild experimental horror piece. So you're going to really want to check that out. So keep an eye on that too. I'll be blasting that as well. Actually, I Alice was asking me about podcasts that she could potentially go on to promote. And I said, oh, I'll introduce you to Cody. And she's like, I know Cody. I'm like, damn it. Everybody knows
Alice
Cody.
Has been on the show before. Where were you?
I must have missed it. I must have been making comics. I don't know. I'm going to go back and watch it. But yeah, you know everybody now. It's like I can't introduce you to anybody. So I'm going to bring you to the co-op because then I'll have somebody.
That's the thing with keeping it geekly, though. It's like, you know, I really focus on, you know, everyone. I don't care about the size of your following. If you got a book, you got a voice. The Geeklies is a way for me to celebrate those who have been on my show. And realistically, some of the smaller people might not have a chance ever with the Ringos. And like, this is me to be able to give them a chance in an award show for them to celebrate their work.
Yeah, no, I ain't got a fucking chance with the Ringos, so I'm really happy for the Geeklies. I desperately want to win a Geeklies. All the people out there who haven't voted for the Geeklies yet, I know I'm going to say it doesn't matter to me because, you know, I'm just that kind of guy who's just like, I don't care about awards, but I desperately want to win.
It's going to be cool because it's going to be a 3D printed trophy.
For something. I want that trophy. I want to put that trophy on this table.
I got little pins. I got little pins that I'm going to throw in and some stickers. Like it'll be like a little keeping a Geekly like trophy stickers. Like it's going to be awesome, dude.
I want one. I don't care what it is. I don't care what category. Put me in for something.
All right. So is that all the books? We got everything?
I think that's all the books.
I got your permission to move on?
For now.
So, I mean, for anyone, we talked about style. For anyone who having trouble finding that, what would be something you would suggest maybe they could try? You know, a workshop idea that they could try to find their style. I know it's trial and error and such, but maybe something they could do to kind of replicate that scenario for them.
Yeah, there's definitely things you can do. And there's the first thing you're going to want to do is if you draw something and it doesn't look very good and somebody tells you that it doesn't look very good, don't say that's just my style. I've done that. Don't do that. Because it's not just your style. Maybe it just looks bad. And you know, art is a living process and it's a growing process. And sometimes to draw something good, you need to draw it very bad first. That being said, another good thing to do is don't be afraid to draw the same thing many, many times. One of the most important things to do, especially if you want to do comics in your characters, and you need to be able to rattle off your characters, you want to be able to do like con sketches and just things like that. You need to know how to draw your characters, draw them all the time. I draw Mario Kiro almost every day. Mm-hmm. I don't share them all because they're not all good, but I draw her all the time because I need to be able to rattle her off.
What's that look like for you? Is it just like a quick 15 minute sketch, 10 minute sketch? Like,
I used to do it on Post-it notes back when I like had to go into the office. Now that I'm working at home most of the time, that I don't use Post-it notes anymore. But I would do like Post-it note sketches at lunch. I'll open up a quick clip studio and I'll draw out a dirty sketch or something like that. I got a sketchbook that I'll do. I finally got a drawing tablet that I can take with me so I can leave the house and still draw.
You see sunlight, you're like, ah. What
yeah, you know. Well, it's summertime where I am now, and my wife likes to go out on the deck, and I'd like to be able to go out there with her at some point, and not just be shackled to my desk. So
that's why you have the tree to bring a little bit of the
I brought the outside inside. What do we need to go outside for? But yeah, so it's back to talking about like developing style and stuff like that. You know, don't force it. Don't copy your faves. You know, I spent a long time trying to be Mike Mignola. Obviously that didn't work out and I do something completely different now. But it was important the attempt was important. So you're like, yeah, don't be afraid to ape your faves. But don't be afraid to do stuff different than them too. Play with shapes a lot. Think about what shapes your characters are made up of: circles, triangles. So keep it simple. You know, I don't know. That's like my advice for everything is keep it simple. You don't need to be the greatest in the world. Chances are, it's like, this is my harsh truth moment. It's like, you're not the greatest in the world. You're not Jack Kirby. I'm sorry. You know, you're not Mobius. You're just not. And that's cool. I'm not. Most of us aren't. 99% of us are not. But that doesn't mean that we can't still make really cool stuff. And so it's like, don't be afraid to fall flat on your face and do something and have a complete failure. Just do it again. Try it again. Keep at it. You know, draw every day. I feel like I'm just starting to ramble off platitudes now. But like, this is the stuff that I have like built my life and career on as an artist. It's just like, I just show up every day and I try to do the best I can. And sometimes it looks very bad. And when it looks very bad, I just start again and I try again. And it's like, I don't really have a lot of great specific advice other than like, keep at it and keep just trying to make it look good. Like, don't settle for something that doesn't look good, that you don't like. And then just tell somebody, no, that's my style. Like half-assed bad comic page is just my style. It's like, no, it's not.
It's not.
Go back and do it again. Like, make it look good. This shit's going to live forever. Like, that's the other thing is like, maybe you're not the greatest in the world. Maybe none of us are the greatest in the world, but you put this stuff out there and it's just out there forever. So like, just make sure you're putting your best foot forward. You're going to do great. You know, that's the other thing is like, you can do it. Anybody can do it.
You can do it.
If you work hard enough, you work long enough. Have I ever showed you any of my really shitty old comics, Cody?
No.
Next time I'm on the show, I'm going to bring some of my really shitty old
comics. Guys, you got to stay tuned. Next time is going to be an awesome time.
We're going to do some then and now stuff.
Let's do it.
Because I've told this story a couple times, and I'll give you the really short version because I know we're kind of coming up against the end of our time here. But when I started making comics, it was because I wanted to write comics. But I didn't play nice with artists. So I said to myself, how hard could it be? How hard could what they do be? And it turns out it is extremely hard. And you have to work and practice for a very long time. Yeah. And it took me like 10 years to get anything that I actually wanted to like hold on to forever. There are shitloads of comics that I did before Marukiru that I hope never see the light of day again.
Oh, they're going too soon.
They're going too soon. The middle period stuff I'm going to hide. I'm going to show you some of my really old stuff when I first started. I'm like, when I started drawing, I'm like, I'm going to give myself a year. And I bet that I can be good as any artist out there. I was so, so wrong. It's very, very hard. But it's a learned skill. The moral of the story is it is a learned skill. And if you show up every day and you do your best and you work at it from a genuine standpoint of really wanting to make something great and put your voice out there, you can do it. You can do it and you can be great at it. So I'm pulling for you. Let's hit me up. I'm on Twitter and all this shit. I will talk to you. I will read your comic. If you want me to give you feedback, I'll do it. I've done it for people. They haven't always been entirely pleased with what I have said, but you know, that's when you ask for honest feedback, I will give you honest feedback. Yes, I will be gentle. I will be polite. But I will also be honest. So just be prepared for that.
Hey, make a book and get on the show. You know, We always love talking about new books here, no matter size, following or anything. Do it.
You can do it. If you get on Global Comics, and I don't plug a whole lot for Global Comics anymore because I feel like they're fine doing their own thing right now. They don't need me. But like, if you get on Global Comics, and anybody can get on Global Comics as a creator, and anybody can publish on Global Comics as a creator, they have a print on demand service. You can get your book printed on demand from Global Comics, and it will exist as a physical artifact in the world that you can be buried with. That's what I'm going to do with my first copy of my book. You know, it's like you can do it. We live in the golden age of indie comics. Anybody can do it right now.
I've heard that quote before. I've heard it before. Yeah.
It's true. It's really, really true. You can't make a lot of money doing it. That's part of what the cartoonist
but you can make,
is
you can make your passion, though.
But you can make it your passion, and you can build, start to build a career out of it. I'm starting to start making some money out of this year, and it's been pretty cool to do. So you can get there. You can, in fact, do it. And I feel like I'm just trying to, like, again, I feel like I'm spouting platitudes at this point, but I really, really mean it.
We believe in you.
Yeah, better. You believe in me. I believe in you. And we believe in anybody who wants to do this. This is like the best show to say that kind of thing on, because I want somebody watching this who has never like been brave enough to put pen to paper and make a comic before to be like, I'm going to give it a shot. And then, you know, 6 months, a year later, they're here talking about it.
Yeah. And they double it, like, you know, believe in someone, double it and give it to the next person. Let's go.
man, they can say Brendan inspired me and he's my hero. And please don't say that. But you
and
know.
Next person I get on has a tree. They have two trees in the background.
Just thank me by voting for me on the Geekly. Yes, that's all you need.
So, Brendan, outside of creating, what are you consuming? What are you watching? What are you playing? You know, what are you reading? If you have time to do any of that,
Tears of the Kingdom. Everybody's doing it. I'm doing it too. Goes without saying. I've been playing Darkest Dungeon 2, which is awesome. I don't know if you played the first one, if you played the second one, but they're both great. I like the second one a lot better. It's a little easier.
Nothing wrong with that. It's still
brutally punishing. So that's a great game I've been playing. I've been reading Sandman for the first time. I'm an outwardly spoken Neil Gaiman hater, and I have been for years. I got nothing against him as a person. I actually think he's a wonderful person. I just have thought that everything he's written has not been for me, and I have not enjoyed it. But I have been avoiding Sandman. But I recently went to my local library and I found their graphic novel shelf, and they had the entirety of Sandman. And I said, time to bite the bullet. So I've been reading through Sandman, and let me tell you, it is fantastic. Like, I'm gonna eat my own words because it's friggin' great. But like from an indie standpoint, Magic Powder I've got up there. I've been reading through those because you know
there's so good
coming out. Lost Between Worlds is always exciting. Once Upon a Time in Xanatopia I've got up there. That's also really good. Celestis is still kicking and still awesome. Space Bitch, there's a new chapter of that supposedly coming out soon that I've been like fingers crossing for like 6 months now. I don't want to rush anybody, but I am very excited to read that. This is another one of those situations where I'm gonna leave somebody out and I'm very sorry. Myriad Voyages, which is something you can read on Global Comics, I did a little piece of fan art for recently. Sadie from Celestis runs an awesome Discord channel, and we do like an art trade lucky dip every couple of months. And use it as an opportunity to catch up on some indie comics and also to like do some indie comics fan art. That being said, Tai Duo is another one that's cool. It's on Global Comics that you should read. You know, there's so much cool stuff out there right now, either on Global or, you know, just floating around in the ether or in print. I retweet like everything that I try to, you know, get as much out there as I can. I know one that I definitely want to mention. The comic that is only available right now is a webcomic. I hope it gets printed soon. It's by my good buddy in Poland, Lukasz Kowalczyk. It's called To Hell and Galgenbeck. And it's about Morkborg, the RPG. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not, but I love that name. That name sounded cool.
Yeah. I've got my copy of it right here. So Lukasz is like a real, he'd be great on like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or a title like that, just like mutants and slime and all kind of stuff like that. And so that comic's called To Hell and Galgenbeck, and it updates every Thursday. And I hope he does a print version of it at some point because I want to buy it. That's something I've really been enjoying. Oh, and of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Zach Semantic's Saga of the Spaceman, something you can read on Global Comics, especially if you're into aliens. Check that out. If you don't stop me from talking, I will keep thinking of comics to name. So
you're good. Real quick, we have our good friend Silverboat over on Twitch saying, "Welcome to the internet, where nothing goes away and haunts you and your descendants till the end of time. And only one thing I wish I could do if I had money is develop a VR game. That'd be really cool. Allow for game developers to release a first-person variant of their game so players can feel like they are the hero of the story. I like that idea a lot. Questionable content is a great comic. I'll have to check that out. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
You never heard of questionable content?
Now you're making me feel bad. Yeah.
you don't know Jeff Jacques? Even I know Jeff Jacques.
I don't know. When I really got into comics, it was a really weird time for me. I was like going through some emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, so I got out of comics, and when I got back into it, it was like right with DC's death metal. So it was like with Red Death and the Merciless and like all the gender bent. Copies of them, the Batman of that world that got changed into whatever. So I read a lot of DC and a lot of Marvel, but not anything in between. And then when I got into interviewing, I pretty much stopped reading DC and Marvel and just only did indie, honestly.
Yeah, Jeff Jocks is an OG. Questionable Content is like one of the web comics from back in the day. I think it still updates. I haven't read it in years. I must admit.
Maybe that's why I don't read a lot of web comics. So that could probably be why.
But you know, you'd mentioned in the same breath as like Penny Arcade and those kinds of comics. You know, coming up on web comics in like the early, the late '90s and the early 2010s. Mm-hmm. Big deal. He's fairly local to me, I think. I don't know him personally, but I believe he's from Northampton, Mass, which is not too far from where I am. And by all accounts is a stand-up guy and a cool dude. Never met him, but was he in the chat or is it just
so someone who's read it, Silver Bullet, it's a great comic. Jeff is still pushing out updates. They're coming out a little slower, but still coming. So that's great to hear. Yeah. We should wrap up though, because I feel like we have that personality where we could just keep chatting, man.
We really could.
It's already been an hour. It felt like it was only half an hour. So
we I think we hit everything we wanted to talk about though. That's the important thing.
I think like, do I have your permission? Like, am I good to go yet? Or did
I mean, just like chapter 9, read it tomorrow, not tomorrow, but for Friday, read it. Cartoonist Co-op, check it out. Cartoonist.co-op. We'll take you right there. Learn all about it. If you're into comics, you would like to make money doing comics someday, it is definitely something you want to be a part of. And now is the time to get involved, because we are at the genesis of something really cool. Mm-hmm. So definitely get yourself involved now. But yeah, that and every other thing that I listed off, you know, watch me on The Bird. I'm still there watching the world burn. But I'm on Instagram and I'm on Tumblr and all kind of other shit too. So I opened an imprint store. So buy prints.
Hey, let's make it happen. Yeah. We'll have those links in the chat, in the description, so be sure to check them out. With that being said, guys, it is time for us to wrap up. I hope you all have a lovely Wednesday, but most importantly, keep it geekly.